A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 8th June 2021, Tuesday. We will be continuing from our sharing of this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 261. Before we start our class, we'll be having our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So remember, we are here to train our mind to be aware, mindful. So we just relax body and mind completely. Then we silence our mind completely. No verbalization, no chattering, no whatever movement of thought process. Which means be relaxed and silent completely. That's it. And maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness, means you stay with the true mind. Just aware. Whatever arise, let it arise. After that, it will come to pass. No need to know. No need to do anything. Don't try to do whatever. And just silent, relax and maintain awareness until the awareness nature stabilizes. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that you have trained yourself to develop. The stability of it so that you can make use of it to live life, to develop the meditation in the midst of life. We call it the daily mindfulness meditation, leading to heedfulness. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful. Means not only we train our mind to be mindful during formal meditation, we need to stabilize it so that it's constantly aware, ever mindful. Then use it to investigate Dhamma, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You combine these two, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will be destined for enlightenment, according to Dhammapada verse 23. So that's what meditation is all about. When you understand, you will know how to train this mind. Initially, to be silent within. The mind that is silent without thought is in sati. It's mindful. It's only aware. It doesn't do anything. So when you meditate, you just relax body and mind. Silent your mind completely. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. Just silent. Maintain awareness until the awareness nature becomes very stable. Initially, for most people who are not trained, the mental hindrances are there, your spiritual faculties are not stable. So you have no choice. Mental activity will be there, mental hindrance will be there because without the spiritual faculty being stable, mental hindrance, the opposite five, they will arise and give rise to mental hindrance. These are called mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why people cannot meditate, is because of that. So when they don't understand, they will go and focus the mind, concentrate the mind, and verbalize. Not this, not that. Then they come out in methods and technique. Then the thinking mind or mundane mind is actively doing meditation. When you are active, it means the thought keep on arising. When your thought keep on arising, you cannot be aware. You cannot be aware of anything. You are either focusing or concentrating or doing something. As we know, our mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it's thinking, which means you are lost in thought or preoccupied in what you are thinking, or you are completely without thought, which means you are just aware, sensitive, mindful. That is the meditative mind. When you are just aware, you are not preoccupied with anything, you become sensitive. Whatever arises within your form and mind, your senses, you are able to be aware. That is meditation. That's why awareness is beyond thought, beyond mind. When you are completely silent without thought, you are already aware. Don't try to be aware. Don't go and do all those funny things, practice here and there, and not here, not there, thinking by doing that you can become aware. No. The moment your thought is active, verbalizing or chattering or doing something, you can never be aware. The awareness is before the arising of the thought process, before perception, before knowing, before the views, opinion, and the conditioning that create thinking. So this understanding is very important. Okay, so with this, we will start our sharing. So today I would like to share something about meditation. I sent out to all of the Kayanamitta. I will bring it up again. Sui has put it into a PDF so that you can see on the screen. This is the definition of meditation by J. Krishnamurti. So far, this is the best definition I've ever come across, and it's so complete, so beautiful, but very few people can understand what he says. So now you listen attentively. What is meditation? To meditate is to train this mind to be aware, and when you can do that, that is the beginning of order. Means the mind starts to understand and develop order. So if you want to understand order, I give you one example and you will understand. When a country is very peaceful, you have a good government or a good king, then there is rule of law, law and order, and everything is in accordance, following certain rules. But here, meditation, the order is slightly different. The order is about nature's law. When you understand how nature's law operates, means you have right view, then there is order in you because you have wisdom, you have understanding. So meditation is the beginning of order. Means you meditate to develop the understanding, the right view with regards to all the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why he start off by saying meditation is the beginning of order. Then what is meditation? Is it meditation is awareness of the movement of thought as the ego, the me. This one is what meditation is. When you are aware of what? Aware of the movement of our thought process, which is egoic. That's how you unravel what thought is. That's how you come to know how thought divide and cause all the duality and problem. Then how thought is limited. Why thought is egoic? Because it is from the spacious awareness of our true mind that it shrinks to a particular object or perception. Then it becomes that small thing. Then it creates a thought by introducing the content of consciousness. And that becomes a thought. So thought has shrunk. Before that is just spacious awareness without anything. But in order to create thought, you must have a perception. So when you perceive something through your senses, you shrink that spacious awareness into one small space. Then you introduce the content of consciousness through your views, opinion, and conditioning to create the thought. So that thought which is created is limited and egoic. before you are enlightened. Egoic means it has self-delusion. The I, the me as the center is always there, manifesting all the time. That's why he is so good, Jay Krishnamurti. You see, meditation is the awareness of that movement of thought as the me, the I, the ego, the center, the personality. That's how the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion arise. Then he explained further, is meditation is total. Watch this word, total, not fragmented. Total, absolute inward freedom. Means nothing to do with the mundane mind. It's with that nature. That nature that is without thought. That nature which is silent. Means our true mind. Our silent mind, our meditative mind. So meditation is total, absolute inward freedom. Because when you have that mind, when you are with that nature, there is no thought. No thought means what? No word, no concept, no duality, no emotion, nothing. It's just aware, that nature. That's why it is very important that you understand this to develop the meditation. So meditation is total, absolute inward freedom in which there is not a single image. Image comes from what? Mental formation, your mundane mind. The image that you create through your mental images. So when there is no thought, there is no image at all. Freedom from all the things that man has put together as reality is your concept of reality. Well, that is thought-based. You use thought to create and put all the concept and idea together. So, I read again, then maybe you can understand now. Meditation is total, absolute inward freedom in which there is not a single image. Freedom from all the things that man has put together as reality via the thought process, the mundane mind. Then the natural consequence is what? The flowering of silence. That's why I say the silent mind. That is your true mind. That is what meditation is all about. Without this understanding, you cannot get it right. You cannot do it. So the natural consequence or sequence of that understanding will lead to the flowering of silence. In that silence is the quality of pure energy. He used the word quality of energy. It's actually pure energy that living being has never touched before. There is beyond thought, beyond mind. And that is the transforming factor. That's how transformation of consciousness occur, understanding, insight occur. So this is very important. Then the real creative movement of life. So this whole sentence I will read again. Hopefully by now you can understand. In that silent, means the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, is that quality of energy that you have never touched before. It's the pure energy. That's why I say just aware. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Stay with that. Stabilize that. Then that energy will build up. That pure mind, that pure nature is so beautiful, creative, and immense. It has got nothing to do with the mundane mind and the duality. So that quality of energy that you have never touched before unless you have gone into that type of meditation. And that is the transforming factor. The real creative movement of life. Why? Because from that nature, all things arise. From that nature, all of the mundane mind creation arise. All of consciousness arise. That's why it is the real creative movement of life. That in that silence, a great many other things goes on, happen. That's why when you are not in the meditative mind, this thing cannot happen. the transformation cannot happen. What happened? I read to you. In that silence, a great many other things goes on. Because in that silence, the brain has complete order. The brain has become orderly. Because when you have that silent mind to be aware, it understands. When it understands, the brain is not the conditioned brain. The brain is not with the memory and all those things. That brain becomes very, very vibrant, very, very sensitive, and completely orderly. Orderly means it has no negativity of mind state. It has no illusion, delusion. It is the way it is. Feel beautiful, tranquil, still, orderly. It does not discriminate. It does not take side. It does not do anything. There is order. That's why there is wisdom. There is understanding. It will function when necessary. Otherwise, it is completely quiet. That's why I told you, the enlightened one, they are most of the time without thought, quiet, peaceful, still. They only arise the thought process when they need to use it to help people, to share something, to do something. Krishnamurti has the understanding. That's why he can describe it so beautifully. He said it will function only when necessary. Otherwise, it's completely quiet. Means the mind is still, no movement at all. The normal human mind thinks a lot of thought process. Your thought is respond to memory. Why? Because you attach, you cling, you hold, you don't understand what they are. You believe that is the instrument of life. You need them so badly. That's why you cling on to them, you hold on to them, you give meaning to all this thought process, and you create havoc through your own ignorance and delusion. The egoic mind is treacherous. So all this is very beautiful. Then it continues with it. I didn't finish that sentence. I will read the sentence again. It will function only when necessary, otherwise it's completely quiet. That one we have already done. In this silence, listen, thought has no place. See, this is your true mind. Beyond thought, beyond mind, no thought at all. When you are without thought, you are with that nature, your true mind, your true nature. So, in this silence, thought has no place, and therefore, there is no time, means psychological time, mental time. That silence cannot be measured. Measured means compare. Cannot. It's not a thing. It's the unconditioned. In that quiet, stillness, tranquility, that which is not describable, where it's beyond word, which is the nameless, that's why you cannot name it. It's not a concept. It's not a word. Which is not the product of time and thought. That's why it's akaliko. Beyond thought, beyond mind, is that movement. That is the creative pure energy. So this is the real meditation. And who can understand it this way? Very few people in this world. That's why I respect Jay Krishnamurti, because he is the first person that I've ever met and ever read about definition of meditation that is so complete and so clear. Which means he himself have realized this and understood this so deeply that he can put it into words so beautiful. And even my nature, when I read, there is so much joy from within. So now you know why I have been telling you all the while to realize your true mind, your silent mind, your inner pure nature. Our pure nature, our true nature within is the most beautiful. This is the real creative eternal energy. that can let you develop wisdom and understanding. Then you can understand that mind, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, this is your true mind. Each and every one of us, we have it. But the problem with living being is most of you are heedless. You're hardly able to detect it or realize it or come into contact with it because you think a lot. Most people are heedless. You can't even have a moment of peace to develop the silence within, to be aware. Ask you not to do anything, you cannot. Don't try to know, you also cannot. Because that mind is very, very talkative. Busybody. They say kipo, very kipo. Okay. So with this sharing, I hope it can let you develop deep understanding of what meditation is. You should go back and read through slowly. And when you have the understanding, my nature rejoices and salute you. Okay, so we will continue from where we stop now. We can go back to this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning. Teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 261. This is the essence of the four great vows. So these four great vows refer to the Bodhisattva vows. Pusata, the four basic vows of Bodhisattvas. The cause is the magnificent wisdom. The conditions are the magnificent virtue and blessings. The friction is that when our thoughts resonate with this, means with the four great vows, with the wisdom, with the virtue and blessing, we will certainly attain great awakening and clarity. This is how you become a Sammasambuddha, enlightened being. If we want to learn the Buddha way, we must take the four great vows, means walk the path of the Bodhisattva. There is no other way actually. The Buddha way is the way of the Sammasambuddha. You have to take the four great vows of the Bodhisattva to go the Bodhisattva way. Otherwise, you cannot perfect yourself to be a Sammasambuddha. You can become an enlightened being, a saint. Sainthood is possible even up to Arahanta, becoming an Arahant. So all this, you have to understand. So I read again. If you want to learn the true Buddha's way, we must make the four great vows of the great Bodhisattvas. There are countless sentient beings, and we vow to take them all across or transform them. That is the first vow. There are endless affliction, and we vow to eliminate them, to endure and severe them. There are endless affliction. Oh, this one I've gone through. There are infinite dhamma doors, and we vow to perfect them, not only learn them. Means we vow to perfect all wisdom leading to the prajna paramita, perfection of all wisdom. Then finally, we vow to realize supreme Buddhahood, the unsurpassed Buddhahood. So Buddhahood is unsurpassed, and we vow to realize them, realize it or attain it. So these are the four basic vows of a great Bodhisattva who walked the path of Dhamma to realize Sammasambuddhahood. If we willingly aspire to live among people and transform sentient beings, then we have already taken the first step in learning the Buddha's teaching. This is the vow to transform countless sentient beings, means to take across all the limitless living beings that exists in this universe. As we interact with people fever inevitably give rise to affliction. So whenever this affliction arises or arise, we must vow to, here he put eliminate them. Actually, you should vow to endure and severe them. Yeah. There are certain afflictions which you need to endure with wisdom. There are others that need wisdom to root it out, severe them. Among sentient beings, we can see all the afflictive emotions of love, hate, affection, and resentment. And as sentient beings, we all experience these. This is very true. Because sentient being has a lot of affliction. So these afflictions are born of ignorance, self-delusion. That's why it's afflictive emotions. Emotion born of what? Love and hatred. The duality. Then affection is attachment and resentment. So these are what is commonly experienced by sentient beings. Actually, all the different appearances we perceive in others are reflections of our own spiritual state. So when we face the mind rights of sentient beings and affliction arise, when we face the mind rights of sentient beings and affliction arise, we must vow to eliminate them, endure and severe them all. We also vow to learn the infinite Dhamma Dao, means perfection of wisdom. We learn to go through infinite Dhamma Dao in order to deeply penetrate the capacities and natures of different sentient beings, only by teaching according to their capacity and condition will we be able to transform them with the Dhamma. Finally, we vow to attain the unsurpassed Buddhahood, means we vow to cultivate the 10 perfection to realize Samasa Buddhahood. Reaching the state of Buddhahood is the goal of learning the Buddhist teaching or the Buddha's teaching. Life is full of suffering, transmigration in the sixth rhyme, Liu Tao Lun Hui. And this transmigration in the sixth rhyme is very painful if you don't have the Dhamma. But every day, many worldly appearances are reminding us of the coming law of cause and effect. Therefore, if we take the appearances and matter of the world as opportunity to learn and cultivate the Dhamma, we can move forward step by step towards our goal, that to realize Samasa Buddhahood. If we examine the essence of the four great vows, we find that the cause is magnificent wisdom, which is very true. The third vow manifests magnificent wisdom. Everyone need to awaken the intrinsic Buddha nature. See, again, it's the Buddha nature or true mind or true nature in your heart, in their heart, so that we have sufficient wisdom to have a deep understanding of sentient being. Before you connect to your true nature or true mind, you cannot develop wisdom and understanding. That's why you have to awaken to your intrinsic Buddha nature or true nature. There is a gateway that takes you into the heart area so that we can have sufficient wisdom to have a deep understanding of sentient being. We also need conditions of magnificent virtue and blessing. Yes, this is the result of our cultivation of the perfections. When we have these causes and conditions that exercise both compassion and wisdom, we will reach fruition. When our thought resonate with all this wisdom, virtue and perfections and blessings, we will certainly attain great awakening and clarity. And our thoughts are always in accordance with compassion and wisdom means following the Dhamma way, we can penetrate all Dhamma in the world. So this is very beautiful. So we will continue in the next adapted verse. They penetrate the meaning of the great vehicle. The great vehicle means the Mahayana vehicle, which is profound and unsurpassed. Their great loving kindness, compassion, and faith are not illusionary. With these causes and conditions, they attain Bodhi. Bodhi means enlightenment. They bring peace and joy to humanity and benefit all, means they can become a blessing to all of humanity. The reason that the Buddha had not yet completely taught the Dhamma is that the principle of the great vehicles are very profound, and sentient beings did not yet have the capacity to completely understand them. Therefore, the Buddha constantly steered the ship of compassion back to the human realm. Sentient beings have infinitely varied capabilities, so the Buddha uses infinite methods of teachings to help them penetrate the meaning of the great vehicle, which is profound and unsurpassed. That's the reason why this sutra of infinite meaning come about. So the essence of infinite meaning. Then their great loving kindness, compassion, and faith are not illusionary, which is very true. As we learn and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, we must aspire to cultivate the four infinite minds. These are the four Brahma Vihara. We must cultivate great loving kindness without regret, great compassion without resentment, great joy without worry, and great equanimity without expectation. At the same time, we must maintain proper faith, proper vows, with proper understanding and practices. In our faith, vows, and practices, the most important thing is to stay on the right path. In our daily life, when we deal with people, matter, or object, our mind must be absolutely straight. Steadfast. Steadfast means sincere, with clarity, unwavering, never deviating from our cause, means sincerity of purpose. We must seek the Buddha's teaching while working to transform all sentient beings. As we walk the Bodhisattva path, we must absolutely not turn back. Only then can we enter the path to truth and realize the infinite meaning of the profound and unsurpassed great vehicle teaching. Or the Mahayana teachings. With these causes and conditions, they attain enlightenment or Bodhi. After they attain enlightenment or Bodhi, they bring peace and joy to humanity and benefit them all, means become a blessing to all of humanity. Once we have made great aspiration to engage in spiritual practices, means taking the vow, we must also have the right causes and conditions. That's why affinity, triple gem, is very important. Then as we interact with other people, we will be able to help each other attain our goals. With the four mission of Tsuchi, we can only help the poor through the mission of charity and relieve suffering and illness through the mission of medicine. That's why their four missions are very beautiful. Charity is to eradicate poverty. Then mission of medicine is to relieve suffering of illness. But we also purify society through the mission of education and create a world of beauty and goodness through the mission of humanistic culture, which is very beautiful. Without education, you cannot have proper understanding. That's why to create a world of beauty and goodness, you must have this education. Then also you must have this mission of humanistic culture, means be a human being, means a true human being, with noble qualities. The aim of this mission is to inspire everyone to grow the good roots, the roots of goodness, means non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. So these three good roots, they are very beautiful. Non-greed means you don't have self-delusion. You don't develop greedy mind state, like attachment, craving, desire, lust, greediness. Then being selfish is a very strong form of greed. So the root of non-greed is not easy. You must have love, compassion. You must have sincerity, honesty, truthfulness in order to have this root of non-greed. Then non-hatred, you must have equanimity. You must have wisdom. You must not be emotional. You must not develop the anger, the envy, the jealousy, and all these things. And of course, lastly is the root of non-delusion. Means you must develop wisdom and understanding. So I read again. The aim of all this four mission is to inspire everyone to grow the roots of goodness, which is non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. Then cultivate a life of wisdom, becoming a source of hope for the world and benefits of all humankind or mankind. So here it means to cultivate the Buddha Dharma so that you can be a blessing to all. So this is very beautiful. Okay, I think we have covered here. We have covered already the four mission of Ciji, which is very beautiful. So now you can understand why Ciji come out with the four mission. They are very noble. So first is generosity, charity. That one will help eradicate poverty and at the same time, of course, suffering. Then the mission of medicine is to overcome medical, provide medical support so that suffering caused by injury, illness, disease can be taken care of. Then through education, you create a better world, you purify society. Then through the mission of humanistic culture, to be a virtuous person, to be a true human being, you can create a world of beauty and goodness. So all these four missions, they are very supportive and very beautiful. They can bring about great transformation to our society, to our planet. That's why organizations like Ciji, they play their role. Of course, there are also other NGOs and Buddhist societies or Buddhist, what we call entities. Not only Ciji, we also have, like I explained before, the four great Buddhist setup that we have seen in this world. You have Fo Guang, for Guangshan. Their main forte or strong point is Buddhist education. Of course, they also have meditation. They also have sutta class. They also have their charity mission and all this thing. But they specialize in the academic aspect of Buddhism, Buddhist academic excellence. So if you want to study the Buddhist teachings, the scripture, you should go to Pho Quang. Then we have this, what they call Pha Khu San, founded by the late Sun Yan, Sun Yan Pha Si. They specialize in meditation. If you want to develop meditation, that is a good place to go to. Then, of course, we also have the other compassion in action. Then there is another one, I think, I forgot the name already. Where is mommy? Hamid Chan Si. The one, the old monk with the vow, Bodhisattva vow. Zhongtai Chan Si one. No, we visited that place here. Taiwan trip, Tao Tige. Forgot already, never mind. That one is plant the seed of Bohi to go the Bodhisattva way. So that one is also a very beautiful setup. Then there are other organizations which also contribute to world peace and benefit the world. So there can be many, even among other religions, where their setup is very sincere, virtuous, and full of meaning. So we can see them flourishing, growing. So all these are possible. So these are special people who have this ability to actually come out with all this understanding. Then they grow their teaching, they share it with the world, they set up all these organizations which are very unique and doing a lot of great work for humanity. Just now on the Zhongtai Chan Si, I suddenly recall. Okay, we'll continue a bit more, then we will stop our second session. Okay, the next adapted verse. The suffering of miserliness and poverty comes from failure to give. To be a miser means very stingy, very stingy person, a miser. Now I got it. The suffering of miserliness and poverty comes from failure to give, means you lack generosity, parami. If you are somebody very stingy and have to endure a lot of suffering, means you don't have dana parami in the past. So it comes from failure to give. If they desire blessing and virtue, the wise should give extensively. That's why the nature's law is very strange. The more you give, the more you receive. The law of karma is something normal people cannot understand. They always say the general thing. You reap what you sow, do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Yes, it's true. But under the law of karma, because you reap what you sow, is whatever you reap must come from your hard work. Means whatever you sow, means your good virtue, your good karmic conditioning. So which means if you cultivate generosity, that is giving, charity and all these things, helping people with your whatever generosity and support. But karma wise is you reap what you sow, whatever you give will come back to you. It's just like people who don't understand, how can I give to him? I never give to myself. How can I can reap it back? Because the karmic nature is you reap what you sow. Whatever that you have planted are the causes and conditions for you to receive. If you have planted the seed of goodness, kindness, generosity, gratitude, respect to people, people will be generous towards you, kind towards you. And generosity is very funny. The more you give, the more you receive. Your giving is giving to your karmic nature. And your karmic nature will receive them back. Sometimes in great abundance because of your cultivation, your perfection, your understanding. Because when you give, your giving is limitless, not like normal people. So when you come with that type of karmic inheritance or parami. That's why it's very different. So to understand karma is not easy. You need the Dhamma, you need wisdom, you need cultivation. You need to realize your true mind, your true nature, the inner silence within. And that is the one that can insight into phenomenal, penetrate into truth to realize the reality. Then when you have that wisdom, understanding and right view, then you will understand life. You will understand everything that arises within existence. That is the beauty of our Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dharma. So this is what Dhamma is all about. And Dhamma is not just theory, knowledge, study. No. Dhamma is a combination of all aspects of life. Then when you go deep into it, that is basically what cultivation is. Life itself is the cultivation, is our greatest teacher. And when we move into it, we understand clearly, completely. That's how we understand life. And then we realize everything follows nature's law. Dhamma is truth. Truth is the reality. When you understand truth, you understand reality. When you understand reality, you understand the way things are. That's why you will have no more delusion. You will not create any more suffering or duality. You will just echo and flow. You will just manifest based on understanding. Everything is so beautiful. That's why perfect harmony, perfect understanding, no friction, no resistance, no conflict, no misunderstanding, no argument, nothing. That is the beauty of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dharma. Okay, we go back to the sharing. I haven't finished the adapter verse. The wise should give extensively. That one is very true. Those who are greedy will never feel content. There's no contentment. That's why they are greedy. Thus, they are the most impoverished and are said to have few blessings and no virtue. This is very true. You don't let the evil roots of greediness or selfishness get hold of you. When you don't have generosity, parami, when you don't have real virtue, your life will become miserable. That's why they are the most impoverished. they are really miserable. And I are said to have few blessings and almost no virtue at all. So when it comes to Dhamma cultivation, be careful of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Okay, we go on a little bit more. spiritual cultivation requires exercising both compassion and wisdom. This one we understand, huh? As well as cultivating both blessings and virtue. So wisdom and compassion goes hand in hand. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue, no real compassion. And because of wisdom, virtue, compassion arise. When there is virtue, when there is compassion and wisdom, blessings arise. But most people do not seek blessing and wisdom. Instead, they constantly pursue good fortune, security, longevity, wealth, and descendants, means worldly things. Some people already possess all these things in their life, but in their heart, they are still not contented. They are still not happy. They always feel something is missing. Do you know why? Because they lack spiritual understanding to complement their life. So without the spiritual understanding of the Dhamma, your life is still lopsided or one-sided. That's why you can still have problem. Your lack of contentment result in your affliction, your misery, your suffering, your unhappiness. So all this will manifest. That's why the author said, but in their hearts, they are still not contented. They always feel something is missing. Thus we say, having one, we lack nine. Such people consider everything they possess as just one. So they still need nine more. Their greed is insatiable. So coming back to this topic of greed and understanding what is wealth or what is like a wealthy person. To be wealthy, you have to understand. The Buddha actually answered one question. They asked the Buddha, what is the highest wealth? His answer is so simple. He said one word only, contentment. Contentment is the highest wealth. Really beautiful. He said, if you are very rich, very wealthy, has a lot of possession, but you are not contented, means what? You still want in it because you are not contented. So, comparatively, you are not wealthy. You are not wealthy at all because you still have need, you still want. Whereas the person that is contented is happy, peaceful. He doesn't need anything. That's why he is wealthy, the highest wealth. So contentment is a very good virtue, a very good quality of mind. When we are contented with our life, with things, with the reality that arise, there is joy, there is happiness. We will not be unhappy, afflicted, miserable. Then there is no negativity of mind state. We will have right understanding, right view. That's why contentment is the highest virtue, the highest wealth, and very important virtue. We must have contentment in order to have the good life. When we are contented, we don't compare like normal people. We tend to have a lot of gratitude. We are very grateful for our karmic past, for our spiritual affinity with the Triple Gem, with all the great beings, with all our great teachers and God. So all this, they are beautiful virtue of a cultivator that has gone through the practice and cultivation and perfection. Then when you have them, you become very beautiful. Okay, we go back. I think we have to stop soon, 9:35 already. Okay, I read one more paragraph, then we end. True good fortune is when we have no deficiency in either body and mind. Means we have contentment. Material external deficiencies are easy to see in poverty, illness, and physical disability. However, if our mind do not feel that anything is lacking, this deficiency will not cause us suffering. So what the author is trying to say is you must have contentment. So poverty of the mind is worse than poverty of materialistic things. This is where the suffering of miserliness and poverty comes from. People who are unable to give and only think of getting more means selfish people, greedy people, even if they are materialistically wealthy, will suffer from feeling poor in their heart. We often say that there is a living, we often say that they are living a life of materialistic wealth, but spiritual poverty. Very true, huh? You may have a lot of wealth, spiritual, but spiritually, you are very poor. My teacher, Ajahantra, also used a similar phrase, but he used it so beautifully. He said, if you are without mindfulness, you have spiritual poverty. Spiritually, you are very poor, he said. Spiritual poverty. He said, without mindfulness, you cannot gain spiritual wealth. You cannot develop spiritual understanding. He used the words mindfulness, awareness, sati. That's why cultivators who understand, they will know. So this is the origin of delusion. So this originates from the failure to give. That one is for people who are deluded, selfish, greedy, and doesn't know the value of cultivating Dana Parami. So to have spiritual wealth, you must develop the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful. That's why mindfulness is very important. Okay, we stop here. Okay, we open up.
Bradio, 我要做一个 sharing. 这个 这个 sharing 是 extend from 我上一次的那个 sharing， 就是讲 我的那个 assistant 他来问我，还有我去 react。 And after that night， 我做了 sharing 给 Bradio 了以后， so the next day 早上我去驾车。 On the way to office 的时候， 那个mic就很 很 silent 的，就这样驾车。 Then suddenly 有这个 message 就 arise， 他讲 when you react you were becoming。 So 这个 becoming 这个 wording 就很 strike 我， 我整个人 like oh， 我整个人就 like oh 这个， 我就想到了那个 dependent origination 里面。 讲的那一个 巴萨 巴加亚 加地 就是 becoming 会 become 那个 birth， so 然后我过后， 然后我就在 on the way 我又在 record 的时候， 我讲 no wonder 我们每一个人 会 become like 就是 what we are， 就是因为我们就一直在 每一次 healers 的去 react to 我们的这个 sense 这个
experience，
每一次我们 一 react 的时候， 你就 becoming， and then you 你就 rebirth in senses 里面， 就是这样子的， 每一个的 sankara， 因为我们一直不断的 react， so 它就一直不断的 accumulate， until that 我们这个 delusion so strong， 变成一个 habitual tendency，
对对， you can root it out， you cannot do anything。 Then the other thing to add to what you share, which is very good, is you see, whenever you react, you say, why do we react? Why do human beings react? The question is very important, the inquiry. Yeah, we want things our way. We cannot accept the reality of the moment. 你了解了? So when you want things your way, you become that thing. That's why becoming arises. And when you become, it's delusion. Because the dwelling, Paticchasamuppada, is very, very clear. Upon contact, feeling arises. If you have wisdom, yoniso manasikara, feeling become pure feeling. Feeling does not condition craving. Then when the craving arises, if there is still no sensitivity or mindfulness or awareness to cut it, stop it, or to prevent it from continuing to arise, means like the second right effort, prevent it from arise, then it will continue. Craving will condition grasping. Then when there is grasping, that is your habitual tendency. When you grasp at the issue, that thing, you want things your way. You want to move that direction. That's how you become that. Either the anger or the envy, the jealousy, the unhappiness, the like and dislike. All these are mental hindrance, the evil roots. That's how they arise. Then when they arise, becoming conditioned birth. You are born into that emotion, that state. That's why for a lustful person, they become a rapist. That's why there is birth. So birth, that doesn't mean give birth through the normal birth process. Birth means you take birth into that monster that you have deludedly created through your mind. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise, good and bad. So what you have come to understand and realize is very good. First song, Sadhudeo. So you can continue. I just want to add that part so that easier for other Kayamita to understand. Okay.
然后我过后，我这两个礼拜，我发现到，哎。 那个habitual来的时候，很像那个你会知道这样子，很像有那个 understanding 会在 prompt你，就像 Brother 你每次 share 的那个 Yoniso Manasikara. But 那个时候我不知道，it's only that like recently like 我很像发现到，诶，为什么 like 有时那个 habitual一来的时候，来很像有一个东西。 But 它是没有 wording 的 ，but you know that 很像有一个东西在 prompt 你，但你又不会去 react. But 有时那种很 strong 的那种 habitual 来的时候，它还是会 react. 但是你又知道 ，like 比如说那个过后，我就知道哦，这个时候我们就要去 apply 那个 four right effort 的 那个 first effort to abundance 这个
abundance through the meditative way that one tisan. Very easy. Then this is a trace the origination factor. When you trace the origination factor, there is a wisdom part. That one must stabilize. If it don't stabilize, it will still stir. But then, because you have some form of initial wisdom, then the initial wisdom will prompt you. Then when it prompts you, sometimes it can prevent it from arising. But if it's still very strong, then it will still move. But the moment you realize it, then you know the wisdom will arise and let you have the Dhamma, Sankara Anicang, Sankara Dukkang, then only it subsides. So that one is the beginning of the second right effort. Means right effort to prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought or the unwholesome mind state. Means the moment you realize through your mindfulness sensitivity that is going to arise, if it can straight away subside, means your wisdom stabilized already. Your yoniso manasikara, you contemplate deep enough, it stabilized, straight away, finish. But if let's say it come out, then you know this is not correct. This is still movement. It's okay, because it has not stabilized. Then you contemplate, you reflect. You trace the origination factor, then you develop the understanding. That's why my teacher always advised me, we choose contemplate until very, very clear. No less than 6 times Acharya Yantra reminded me whenever I was alone with him discussing the Dhamma and the meditation. He said we choose contemplation until very rare. Later on, only after I understood the Dhamma, only I realized I did this a lot. And that was the second turning, wisdom. That's why my yonisomanas sikara stabilized very fast. And I contemplate a lot, I reflect a lot, and I make use of a lot of other people's understanding and wisdom, like Guang Qing Lao Ho Sangwan, and even my teacher Achayantra, which just accept everything as natural. Then even J. Krishnamurti, acting according to memory is not acting at all. Then truth is, the reality is, suchness, ta-ta-ta. Then only mighty nature rolling by. So all these are very beautiful. Mm. Then like Kong Qing Lao Sang say, 对也接受, 不对也接受, 无论如何都要忍住, 忍住, so means, whether it's right or wrong, it's a duality. Because the society is like that, we have to accept. That is the third level of seeing, 看三又是三, they said, 对也接受, 不对也接受, 无论如何都要忍住, 忍住就是 follow me. So this 忍住 is patient endurance with wisdom, not suppression of feeling or emotion. We don't accept everything with suppression or emotion. No, this one is patient endurance with wisdom. Condition on that, things we learn that we can accept. We don't have to stir our mind. We don't have to react. We don't have to become unhappy. This is Dhamma. So this is how you root out that habitual tendency. It takes time. It needs to stabilize. Let's say you have to reflect and contemplate until very, very clear. Then you have to go deep into life. You have to go through life. Because you will confront many funny type of people, personality and situation that you never expect can happen on. Because the world is the world. People are just the way they are. That's why I came up with all those understanding that I share with you all. Sitting as they are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. That one is my own contemplation. Then when I have these two, I can accept everything the way it is. Like I used to share with you, and a lot of Kayama Mita told me, yeah, that is very good radio. He is the way he is. Deluded people do deluded thing, huh? They like that one. Selfish people do selfish thing. Ignorant people do ignorant thing. They are just the way they are. Means they are very happy. Yeah, they don't have to accept what their spouse or other people that make them unhappy do. Means you accept, but you don't agree, and that's not where they are, just the way they are. So that understanding, I realize, can break the karmic, what they call the karmic effect of the existential condition. So this habitual tendency is coming from our karmic obstruction, 业障, 障碍. So they keep on arising and create such movement. That's why you call it reaction of mind. Reaction of mind means you cannot accept, you cannot come to terms with that reality. So first right effort, go through the third and fourth way to develop the understanding that all these emotions are dependent on originating, not intrinsic to our true mind. That's why you must go into the true mind, the silent mind, to realize that until very stable, then you realize all these are not you, not real, dependent originating. These are mind make emotion, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, no reality. They have the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. So all this becomes so beautiful. That's why all this will help you. So this is for you today. It's the added sharing.
Yeah, 谢谢 Brother Dio。 因为我这两个礼拜是觉得很像，哎呦，怎么很像是在 一种新的一种 learning， 就很像 Brother Dio 你讲的，那 meditation 才是刚刚开始，但是有一点哦，一直在找，一直在了解，一直在做 searching。 刚才 Brad 你的这个 sharing 啊，我知道要做什么了。我有一个我有一个那个比较 clear 的那个picture 来，应该要怎么样的去 cultivate 了不然我这两个礼拜一直在好像你 like because this is a real like 你很像 like 你已经看到那个 habitual 在 daily 里面，因为那个
你已经 improve 了，你有 better understanding 了 ，but 还不够清楚。
Yeah,
还不够 stable. That's why 今天的 the sharing will help you. Then the last part that is a missing link is you realize all of your contemplation and what you go through is from life itself, from your career. So that's why I always say life itself is our greatest teacher. We learn from life. And when we can learn from life, we truly understand life.Because that awareness, that sensitivity, that understanding of life will give us the awakening, the Dhamma. So this is what the teaching is all about. It's nothing magical. It's not a knowledge. It's not something esoteric. It is very basic understanding. If you really sincerely reflect, contemplate,and silence your mind, all this can be understood. And it's not difficult. Well, my nature has done it before. That's why I can share with you, it can be done. The mind can cease, can silence. Just like what Krishnamurti explained in the definition on meditation. Today, one, the definition is very, very beautiful, very profound. You should slowly, slowly go through it.And develop the understanding. Initially, not easy because it takes a lot of wisdom to comprehend what he says. And his words are so powerful, so precise, so concise, so direct. That's why I have a lot of respect for Jai Krishnamurti. He's really, really good. He can put it into simple day-to-day language.And the meaning stand out so beautifully. And you have to understand that what he described is not Dhamma phrasing and all those things. It's day-to-day language. But because of my nature's understanding, I can actually explain it to you all to reflect the actual teaching. Where the actual teaching is actually like that, what he described. Except what he described is not the scriptural type of description.That's why a lot of Buddhists or so-called Buddhist practitioner or cultivator or scholar, they cannot understand Jai Krishnamurti. When he used different words, they cannot understand. They are caught by the words. Spiritual practitioner and cultivator have that silent mind, that true mind, that nature. Without having that realization and awakening, you cannot understand what Krishnamurti said.Well, the word is not the thing. The real one is the experiential that arises through that actual ability to realize the true mind, the silent mind, the brain and all those things. It's not easy. So this is really something very beautiful and unique. So today's sharing is very good.And also, Brother Song, salute to you for creating the condition for all this to arise. So you can continue, Song.
Start from, you said learning for another stage, 这样子. Yeah.
But 你已经 actually very good 了 to reach this stage.不容易的，不容易的，很多人啊 haven't even realized what the silent mind is, the true mind is, the real sati. That's why they cannot understand all this. Then the daily mindfulness, the daily religious routine, if they don't do, they can never understand, awaken or penetrate. That's why all this meditative training need to be done. Be patient, have faith, then persevere. Don't try to knowDon't try to do anything silent, completely realize that true mind. Just the awareness nature is so beautiful. The beauty of silence, without thought, that is your nature. Silence everything and be with it. Without thought, who are you? What are you? You are nothing. You are nobody. That's why it's anicchang dukkhang anatta. And that nature cannot come out to live life. But that nature is connected to our form and mind. That's why you can access it or train your mind to realize it and use it to meditate, to awaken. That is the purpose of that nature. Then when you understand that, that nature is eternal life, the unconditioned, the true nature means never born. That's why it never died. Because it is beyond birth and death. 不生不灭. The reason being is the unconditioned. And that one is so beautiful, so beautiful. That's why our true mind is so beautiful. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. Just that nature within. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It's not what people think. It's not even Atman or whatever, or the ultimate self, or the super Atman or super self. No, none of all this. It's not even a soul, a permanent unchanging entity. No? That's why the Buddha is so wise. He also went in and realized that one. Then he realized the form and mind has nothing to do with that nature. The form and mind is karmically conditional, separate entity. And that one is subject to birth, old age, sickness and death. That's why his problem gone. He was in search for answer to birth, old age, sickness and death. Then when he realized that form and mind doesn't belong to him, he realized enlightenment here and then. Straight away, he awakened. Then he understand the whole teaching. He inherited everything after he connect. So that is how beautiful the Dhamma can be. Sadhu, very good.
Brother, 我每次想到说, 我们一定要 put很多的 effort 去 stabilize 那个 mindfulness 去 cultivate.
Yeah.
这个很重要。 如果没有做到那个 mindfulness 去 stabilize 的话， 这个 understanding 我们就
不能够得到。
对，
不能够 realize。 Because like the Buddha say, you need to be heedful. If you are not heedful, you are heedless. The heedless are as it did. And to be heedful, the first criteria is to be ever mindful. So if you don't train your mind to be mindful or aware, how can you stabilize it to be ever mindful? That's why all meditation is about stabilizing the awareness nature. I hope by now all Kanyamita understand that and don't go and do the funny meditation thought based on again. I mean, you can calm yourself down, but finally you have to free that mind to be a free mind that is tranquil and still to realize your true mind. And to do that, you must understand the true mind before the stirring is already stillness, tranquility. Without thought, you are already aware. So don't do anything. That is the meditation. Silent, relax, maintain awareness until that true mind returns. Until all the sankara activities slow down and become quiet, still, without thought. Now, without thought, that is your true mind. That is your nature, true nature within, the awareness nature. Realize that, stabilize that. That is your meditative mind. Then from there, your understanding will arise. That's why I used to tell you all earlier, once you connect, technically, you don't need a teacher. You can learn all this yourself, but take longer time. But you have a good guide, a good teacher who understand. They can cut short your training, prevent you from wasting too much time trying to develop the understanding. Actually, this Buddhist teaching, the real understanding is not easy. No, very, very difficult. But when you understand, it's really simple and easy. nothing complicated at all. The problem is people cannot believe that it's so simple. They are so engrossed with the thought, the knowledge, the theory, and all the conditioning. That's why they cannot completely have an open mind, silent, and just find out, investigate, and realize. They can't. They have to approach it with the thought, the thinking, the knowledge, the conditioning, the theory, and all those things. That is where I realized a lot of spiritual practitioners, Dharma cultivators, and so-called Buddhists get trapped. They got caught because they are so used to using thought, thought-based training, thought-based teaching, thought-based meditation is so common and is so influential, has conditioned them for so long. They find it very difficult to come out of it, to learn something that is very simple and very new, of course, because awareness is not something easy for people to comprehend. That's why the Buddha said, without heedfulness, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So remember this and go all out to train your mind to be aware, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop understanding of the essential Dhamma and all those steps that I have taught you, including the Abhijja Sutta and all those things. The whole essential Dhamma you go through, you will awaken and you will become very different. Then contemplate, reflect the three turnings. Three turning is most important, especially second turning. Of course, third turning also very useful. But without stability of mindfulness, sati sampajana, third turning is impossible. First, second turning still can, but you still need mindfulness to see. So stability of mindfulness, sati sampajana, is very important. So like what Brother Song say, mindfulness, sati. My teacher Ajayantra also emphasized mindfulness. He said, without mindfulness, even if you are a billionaire, no use, you are still very poor spiritually. Spiritual poverty, he used the word. He said, even you are a billionaire, no, you are still poor. Because without mindfulness, you cannot have spiritual understanding. So you are still poor in the sense that spiritually, you are very poor. Okay, that song continue. Anything else?
其实 Brother 我想 share 就是给所有 Galama Galana Mita 知道，因为我也是一步一步走来的。所以当我们在cultivate 这个 silent mind 的时候，它真的是需要很多的 understanding 在里面。
Yes.
有了你有了 understanding 了以后，我们才去 cultivate。
对，
我们很多的时候我们会有一个 wrong perception， 就是你一坐下去就是 silent， but initially 我们一坐下去的时候它是很多的那个 thought 的。Sometimes 那个你整个 section 哦，它都是 sankhara 一直在那边 moving， 一直在那边 moving，
不停的转。
对，它不停的转，也是转一整个 section， 也是转一整
个礼拜。We call it thought proliferation. You know why or not? Because when normal human beings live life, they are heedless. So their life is not in order. That's why Krishnamurti used the word disorder. They live a life of disorder. To the Buddha, disorder means heedless living. You are not heedful at all. Because you are not in the meditative state of ever mindful, constantly meditative. To be heedful, you are ever mindful, constantly meditated throughout the day. That's why you have order. Means you can see things as they are. You do not stir your mind. You do not react. You do not create all the negativity of mind state, the mental hindrance. Then your spiritual faculty are there. That's why heedful living against heedless living. So all this is very true. So what you describe is very true. This is how you started too. Then you realize you need a lot of understanding and patience to realize the silent mind is not overnight. you have to be very patient, try out. Even Po Qing, when she started, I remember in one of the reporting, she said it took her half an hour to wait till the mind become very quiet, the shift of consciousness for her to read. But the moment she realized that there was joy and she continued to silent, then later on she realized that one stabilized. Then after it stabilized, it was so beautiful. He can see all the things that I share will come from the silent mind. Then she starts to have faith and continue to do the routine and take the vow. Then after that, she transformed and become very different because that thing stabilized. Then she realized she can go into that stillness straight away within minutes. When in, then later on, like you all went through, it's not always like that. Sometimes it comes as a test. Then after a while, it will stir again. Then it will create different movement again. That's why you have to have the understanding. Don't panic. Don't worry. And accept the reality of the moment. Whatever that arises is part of the cultivation, part of the way. You only have to find out why. Yeah. So sometimes they come back to back door to test you to do all these things. That's why you have to go through all this. Then you have to reflect, contemplate, stabilize all this. So your sharing to Kayamita is very good. So what I have added just now is to help complement the big picture so that people can understand why most people cannot meditate, cannot silent. Because their daily life is in a state of disorder. They are heedless most of the time. They think a lot, they react, they stir. That's why without the initial wisdom, through constantly listening to the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation, first, second, turning wisdom, you cannot develop that initial wisdom, the Yoniso Manasikara. Not until Yoniso Manasikara arise, your mind will stir and react a lot. That's why there is no space between thought. You hardly quiet. You cannot be mindful at all. Where every time, every moment of sense experience, you react, you stir, you create movement, and you think a lot. So how not to think? Train your mind to be aware. To be aware means what? No need to do anything. Relax, maintain awareness, silence everything. Whatever arise, let it arise. Arise, pass away, finish. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Continue to silence. Then it will come. It will come. Be patient. Don't try to know. Don't try to have expectation. Don't go and even question, am I doing it correct? Tell one create thought again. So just relax, maintain awareness, silent everything. Then find out. It will come. It will come. Be patient. So this advice is very good. Huh? Sadhu Song.
Yeah. So brother, 如果是, 我想share 就是讲, 因为我自己的 cultivation 就是讲, 刚开始的时候, 那个很多 healers 的时候, 说, 来, 我们一定要做, 就是 brother 刚才你有讲到的, 我们的 daily 的 routine 跟那个 make a bodhisattva wealth, 我们每一天一定要去做,
对对对对,
at the same time, 我们也要去, 去 contemplate, brother 你每次 advise 我们的 be with it, 什么叫做 be with it? 什么叫做 silent?
一定要去做, that one called moon is very good.
我们要在 meditation 里面去 cultivate 了以后, 然后你再出来, 再去 reflect, 再去 recall. 过后我自己是觉得, 在很多人, 我们会, 在这个 process 里面, 我们会, 我们知道很多, 但是我们, 我各自己觉得是说, 我们没有去做 acceptance. 我们不能够去 accept the reality, 就是 at that moment. 我们一直想到我们要 silent, 一直想到要 silent, but at that moment, 你在 meditate 的时候, 你的 sankara 又很 strong.
所以,
如果你的, 如果我们的 understanding 不 stable 的话, 你没有了解的话, 你会用 another thought 来 suppress 它的,
just like what Tammy, used to do.
在 silent 里面,
I have to add in one point which is very important. You say you want to be silent, but you cannot. You know why? Because that step which is silent to realize the true mind is the beginning of learning the understanding, the wisdom. If you don't have the stability of it to the daily mindfulness later on, you cannot develop the initial wisdom. So when the initial wisdom is not there, sankhara activity will be there. We avijja paccaya sankhara, you can never cut or stop. Because the avijja, wrong view, is still there. Without the initial wisdom to straighten your view, to change your perception of things, to change the way you understand things and perceive things, the mind cannot be quiet. The mind cannot be peaceful. The mind cannot be just aware. That's why you realize the mind still reacts and stir, wants to do certain things. And that process lead to becoming. So when you understand that, which means the stability of wisdom is not there. So when the stability of wisdom is there, then all this will cease. So for the stability of wisdom to arise, the silent mind need to be very stable. The daily mindfulness need to be very stable. And when all this become very stable, then you start to awaken and see an insight. Then the reflection, contemplation, the second turning, wisdom keep on arising, keep on stabilizing, that it become more and more stable until the habitual tendency is all slowly, slowly rooted out. Then you realize the sankhara, the brain become different. Last time when you see something, that habitual thinking, the thought come or not. Oh, sometimes that type of thought is very, very capable and very, very thorough one. Sometimes it's full of the way we have been making fun of thing and think through that thought process, the sankhara. It's like when you are young, you are very, I use the word, not only naughty. What is that word here? Mischievous. You like to like, long run, gao run, and make fun of people. Then like last time when I was in the university, wow, college day, we sing a lot of college song, no, dirty song. No. Oh, so all those things went in, no, and we do it with joy all the time. So, somana sasahagatang, no. Of course, there is no wisdom involved. But asangkalikang is there. No. So spontaneous and happy before you do, happy when you do, and happy after you do. But all the college song is all the making fun on the dirty song. So because of that, I realized, wow, take me a long while to root it out. Because I realized whenever I hear a certain song or I meet certain classmates talk about the uni day, college day, that type of song starts to surface. Then I realized, what the hell is all this? How come I cannot do anything to it? Then I start to reflect and contemplate. Then I start to develop the understanding. I knew the stability was not there. That's why I continuously reflect, condemn. Until finally, when it was rooted out, then I realized, hey, cannot happen already. The dream also never come already. Oh, sometimes you dream you have failed your exam one, you haven't passed yet. I keep on repeating and come back. No, once rooted out, all gone. Then everything become very different. Like there is no more of this movement. It cannot anymore. So you have to go through that type of transformation. That's why Krishnamurti said the silent mind has this very special transforming capability. And the main characteristic is silent. That is the pure energy. That is the wisdom energy that can let you understand, awaken, straighten your view, and change you completely. Then later on, when all this understanding unfolds, you can go back to life again, normal again. I can still joke, I can still sing those songs. No problem. It's no more an issue. It's no more like I can be conditioned. Because like sometimes my wife didn't know why I go and look at the handphone and listen to all this song and all those things. Then the TV and all those things. For me, it's not having any problem at all because I can see it's not affecting me at all. So last night I remember the Wuxia Xiao Shuo, the Chinese sword fighting type of show. I like those movies. and I was chased after them one during the early day. Then I realized after 1989, when I have the understanding and when I connect, and my Monday my colors, I realized the Sankara or no more. Then I watched that show. At any time you want to stop, no problem, want to stop. Then after that, the series no more already, also no more problem. It cannot have that urge or desire to have it anymore. Because it understands. And all these are like what the Diamond Sutta say, 一切有为法, 如梦幻泡影, 如露亦如电, 应作如是观. So clear, the whole thing. That's why you can live life. Then life becomes beautiful, wonderful. Then that is what the form and mind is all about, for you to live life, experience life, to experience all the pristine wonders and beauties of life. Then life becomes meaningful, wonderful. Then everything unfolds. Then you can go back to normalcy. Then you can accept everything. 对也接受，不对也接受. No problem. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Then you realize everything falls into place. There is no movement within. That's why in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Then in the midst of sound, there can be silence. Very beautiful. Activity and stillness, normally people say, cannot go hand in hand. Who say cannot go hand in hand? When the world outside is full of phenomenal activity, movement, but your nature inside is stillness, still. Then when there is a lot of vibration, sound, activity, there can be silence within. Silence means not stirring, not making any noise. That nature is just aware. It cannot create unless you are heedless, you are deluded, then you come out through the mundane mind. That's why when you stay with your true nature, your true mind, everything is so beautiful. Within is clarity. Within is stillness, silence, tranquility. No movement at all. And everything is reflected, becomes so clear. Then how everything starts and stir from that nature, you see that. That's how you understand. That's how the awakening is there. Then whatever people tell you, you know, no more meaning. Die already, why, got soul, or what? No more meaning. Because the realm of consciousness is different. That one is from the karmically conditioned, the first thought, the rebirth consciousness. Then it goes through all the conditioning and become the what they call the brain, the memory, and the conditioning, so that consciousness becomes what random of consciousness, correct? But a bundle of memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. So for heedless people, they hold on to this. So this is a random that remains. This one upon death can come out. But for those enlightened beings, they go through cessation. Their nature ceases. There is no ignorant thought to condition rebirth. So all this understanding will unfold and you will understand no one die, nothing die. There is no such thing as birth and death. Birth and death, only the conventional reality. When consciousness separate from the form, that's why this random consciousness come out, separate from the form, then you say, die. Actually, nothing done, it's just this separate. And the life force will cease first. Once the life force no more, then the craving force will dissipate. Once the craving force dissipate, it cannot hold the consciousness together. Then this consciousness will float out, will leave the body. And when it leaves the body, people say that, die already, death. No. Is just separation of consciousness from the form. Then the cessation part is different. For the enlightened being who understand at the moment of death, there is no delusion, no craving, nothing. The mind will just cease. It will return to its true nature and cease. of course, the random or consciousness can still come out. Yeah. So all this understanding, the cultivator will know. That's why the teaching is so beautiful. Mm. Okay, so that part is useful to add to what you shared. Mm.
Yeah, 谢谢 Baradio. Baradio, 因为我最近在一直在 deal, 在看到就是realize 这个habitual tendency. 所以你发现到现在要很小心的就是在 cultivate, 也是真正的真正的在走。
Because that one, a lot of cultivators got caught, even the 慈济 Master 圣严。正言法师 Master 正言 She also every time mentioned in the book the habitual tendency. Yes, she know, very difficult to root out. Not easy that one. So you really, really need the wisdom, the cultivation.
对，要很 strong 的那个Uniso Manasikara 的 wisdom 来帮助我们在这个 daily 里面去 root out.看到是看到，要 root out 又是 another level 了。
另外一段呢 ，you have to go through a bit。你的 silent mind 啊，你要用它来 develop wisdom 的。它不是倒反的哦，它是用的 silent mind stabilize until the daily mindfulness all very stable. Then throughout the day you are heedful, mindful. Then that sensitivity of mind, that wisdom.That can see all the subtle defilement, then you reflect and contemplate. This will stabilize your understanding. Then your yoniso manasikara become very stable. Once it become very stable, on its own, it cannot arise really. That's why you know it's rooted out, like the Buddha mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta. Finally, you will come to know how the arisen, the mental hindrance or fire and weight cease to be. Then after that, the third cycle is you know how this mental hindrance cannot arise anymore. We have all the wisdom. There is no more condition. And it cannot arise anymore. It's stated in the Dhammanupassana and the mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. You go and read. First,you become aware of the mental hindrance. So you have to silence your mind to trace how this mental hindrance arises. So you will trace the origination factor. You will come to know how the mental hindrance arises, how the unarisen mental hindrance arises through your senses, through your wrong view, through your reaction of mind, stirring of mind.Then after that, you continue to silent. Then you see how it ceases. Then you realize it's dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, not intrinsic to our true mind. That's why it ceases. That's why under the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of five mental hindrance, the Buddha says, you will come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Because you saw it disappearing.By not doing anything. That is the third way, meditative way. Then the fourth way is to develop the wisdom. That is mindfulness and the six internal sense bases and the six external sense. That is to develop wisdom. So that wisdom will straighten your view, will allow you to understand where you trace the origination factor, how you stir, how you react. Then you perceive things wrongly through delusion.You cannot accept the reality of the mind. And the acceptance wisdom comes from the fourth way. Then when you have the understanding already, you have to come out with the wisdom to accept things as they are. Then you can come out with all the contemplative wisdom, like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Yeah. Then like what I contemplated, people are just the way they are. The world is the world.Condition like that, things will be like that, like the Buddha mentioned. Learn to see things as they are. Means from there, you come to the understanding. Then you realize with this understanding, straightening of the view, you can accept everything the way it is. Because you will come to understand, like what the Buddha said, everything is just the way it is, suchness. That is the reality. Because the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So if the causes and conditions are like that, it will move this way. It has to be this way. If I don't accept I want things my way, I suffer. I become afflicted. Not able to get what one desire is suffering. Here is say in the first noble truth, reality. So all this understanding will come in and we will develop the right understanding to have this ability to accept the reality of the moment, to accept people as they are, to accept the world as the world, to accept duality, to accept the existential world's Dhamma and the law. So we will have wisdom to accept both sides. That's why you will end up with the understanding, the third C, 对也接受, 不对也接受. Means no right, no wrong. 看三又是三, no problem. So depend on who will come, you can actually understand all state or condition, all manifestation and appearances. No need to argue. No need to have conflict. No need to create duality. Duality is for the world, exists within the existential world. So we can fit in. We can talk about duality. We can also go to karaoke or whatever, or see a show, listen to music, go for cruise, live life. Why not? As long as you have the wisdom and you will not attach, you will not cling, you will not hold, then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Otherwise, one-sided. Hey, this one cannot, that one cannot, good food cannot eat. Cannot. They say the eight precepts say, cannot enjoy music, you know why you break precept. But these are for people under training, understand? That's why I undertake the training rule to abstain. They are under training. But once you have the wisdom, you have developed the understanding and you have gone beyond, you can live life. The third phase of Dhamma come in. Pativeda. You live the life of a noble one, the enlightened one. Then life become wonderful. Like the Heart Sutta said, 真空妙有, true emptiness is wonderful existence. So this is the beauty of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. That's why my nature find it so fulfilling, so beautiful. Oh, exactly 10:30, huh? Okay, so anything else, okay, so let us rejoice and thank Brother Song for the good condition and the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Brother Teo,
yes.
I'd like to thank you, say sadhu for this beautiful sharing, your teaching tonight. It is really, really profound.
Sadhu.
It has brought understanding. It's just seeing things as it is, not that mental. Acceptance
is very important. Without wisdom, without right view, you cannot accept the way things are. Because human being has a lot of views, opinion of things. And they are so conditioned, their belief system, their religious inclination, and their conditioning from life, society, tradition, and all those things makes them very rigid. Because they are so rigid, they become like so conditioned as a human being. So when they hear something so new, they cannot accept. Or they say, no book right, no teacher teach like that. How can we accept? So all this is the result of lack of understanding. When you use the knowledge of the mundane mind, the thinking mind, and all this arise. For you, you can understand because you have good Dhamma understanding, your base, you have your good parami. Then I was told by Leslie, you help her a lot. Because recently, Leslie, she also had a minor situation, landed in hospital, in the specialist center. And because you had the experience 3 years ago, I think, huh? As I visited you at the hospital too. You also had this, I think, was it a minor stroke or something like that? Then she said you were very helpful. I said, yeah, Susan is the right person here. I visited you and I know you went through all this and you recovered very well. But at that time, you lacked rest. So you were able to develop all this understanding because you have faith. And there is this acceptance that that time you have too much spiritual activity, you were everywhere, you not had no rest. So that one helped you in the understanding. Then later on, you really rest and you recover beautifully and you actually came out like perfect, no problem at all. There are a lot of people who go through that have long-term side effect and all. But yes. you were very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Then Kayamita also sent their blessings and all that.
One was very, very supportive.
Because you were helping a lot of people and you were very generous and very kind. In the early days, you always, at the clan side, took us for lunch, for dinner and all that thing. Then have house dana. Then we have a lot of sharing in clan too. So those were the day, and your brother also, Danny, also a very nice guy. So all these are beautiful. Then acceptance to you is easy to comprehend. Then you have been following my sharing and my teaching. And once you progress, you can see the beauty of this teaching, this sharing. But this teaching is very profound, not easy for normal people. People with thought base and the conditioned thinking of the normal Buddhist tradition, they cannot follow. They don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You know, what is this awareness-based meditation? And the Dejanta discussed another Kayamita. The Kayamita and now asking him, what is the difference between awareness and a composed mind? See, people cannot understand. So this is the result of what we call thought-based meditation being taught outside. And what is being taught is not clarity. They don't know what that true mind is, the silent mind is, the meditative mind is. They only know there is one mind, which is the thought process, the thinking mind. So for you, sadhu to you, Susan, for your ability to identify and appreciate all this. You can continue. Sorry for interrupting.
Brother Chiu, this quote by
Krishnamurti, yes.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yes, it's really very clear.
Yes.
It's the truth.
Yes.
Of what it is.
Yes.
Because minusing in my little way, a lay way of explaining, you know, it is minus the thoughts.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
It's just the stability of mind.
Yes.
Seeing the movements.
Yeah.
That take
of the
place.
Egoic mind, huh? And, the thought, yes. The me and the I. Yes. And the reaction of mind.
Right. It becomes egoic when you react, when you cling.
Yes. Then you see,
otherwise,
then you understand
it,
how your mind stirs. Yes.
So it's so beautifully
put in words. Put in words,
yeah. Yeah, so good. Put into words, and it's amazing.
Yeah, amazing that a human being can understand up to that depth. So, and he is very, very complete, very precise, and very concise, and he points straight towards that true mind, that true nature within. So, which is
right. Yes.
Without thought, without images and all those things. So beautiful.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
So this is paramount. It is important that practice should be inclined this way.
Yes, because the Buddha's teaching is the same. He said the Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind, timeless. Thought is time, psychological time. Esa is beyond thought. And beyond time is psychological time. When you think, you create psychological time. When you don't think, there is no psychological time. There is the timeless. That's why that unconditioned true mind, the silent mind, is the timeless. That is the meditation. That's why the awareness energy is pure energy. And that can bring about clarity and order to the mind, to the brain. Develop understanding and insight. That one can see the movement of thought, the movement of sankhara activity, the movement of the aggregates of mind, the five aggregates. Then we can see clearly why the Buddha say, through self-delusion, when you grasp and cling and hold to this, onto this five aggregates, it becomes grasping aggregate. And it is the result of this grasping aggregate that conditions suffering. You see them all. That's why you understand the teaching. Then you awaken. Then you are not deluded by the phenomenal world, by the five aggregate of form and mind, by the phenomenal world, the creation, the consciousness and all those things. Then everything becomes clear. The form and mind become clear. The conditioning of the mundane mind, the brain, the activity, all become very clear. Then you can find that which is the timeless, that which is beyond thought, beyond mind, and that sacred energy, that pure energy, that nature is so beautiful. That's why it is characterized by silence, tranquility, stillness, there is unconditioned. And that one is creative. From there, everything arises. And that one creates order for the brain. And when you need to arise, it arises because our form and mind is still there, the wisdom connected, that nature there. That's why from there, you can start creation, the creative energy. So all these are very beautiful. Sadhu, for your good energy to understand, Susan.
So can I just say this, just for my understanding?
Yeah.
Can I put it that whatever sankharas,
yes,
whatever movements that are created from the brain,
from that nature,
from that nature,
this is the mundane mind, the mundane mind,
mindfulness at the heart,
at the heart, yes, at the heart, there is a nature that awareness is just aware. Then from there, everything arises. Because like I told you, our nature is spacious awareness. So spacious awareness without a center is our nature. Then how do we create thought? We create thought through memory. Thought is respond to memory. So memory perceive. Like for example, you want to hear my voice. You have to perceive my voice. So that spacious awareness shrink into a space which is hearing my voice at your eardrum there.
Right.
Then you input the content, which is your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, your belief system. That is the content, and that becomes a thought. And that thought is limited. It's no more the spacious awareness. That's why it's not sensitive. It cannot see things as they are. It cannot be sensitive anymore in the sense that we are preoccupied with that thought. We are only involved with that content of consciousness and its movement. And this is how the mundane mind, which is ego, is stir and react and create all the movement through wanting things your way, because that is the egoic mind. So when we see all this, we understand, then we know why the Buddha say the five aggregates, they are pure aggregates. But through delusion, we grasp. We grasp means we give meaning. We attach. We give it a false reality. We perceive it wrongly through delusion. So when we perceive it as the I and the me, the personality, the ego, then the evil root arises. That's how living being create negativity of mind state. That's how karma take its course. That's how we fall as living being. But when you develop all this understanding through that silent mind that observe with clarity, then that wisdom become your understanding, and that is right view. Then with the right view, you start to contemplate and reflect and ask yourself, why must I stir? Why must I react? Why must I behave that way? Because this form of mind is a vehicle and a tool for me to live by, for me to use. I'm supposed to use it like a knife for wholesomeness, for goodness, to help people to do things like the knife to cut and shape fruits and vegetables and whatever that is useful. But if you use that knife to cut ourselves, harm ourselves, and hit our other, that is delusion. Understand? So when the ego is there, the three evil root is like using that thought process to create evil and make us evil. That is like using that thought to harm ourselves, hurt ourselves, and hit our others and create negativity of karma. So that is really stupidity, delusion. So when you see all this, you cannot do. What am I doing? This is me, my life. Form and mind, although not real, condition arising, causal phenomena, but it's part of my karmic condition. This is a vehicle and tool for me to come, to live by. I make use of it and it become beautiful. Well, with right view, the user of this thought become beautiful. That's why the Buddha say, right view leading to right thought, not wrong thought. But the egoic mind, which is the mundane mind, the thought process, without this wisdom, create the evil roots, that condition coming negativity and downfall. And that is a secret of life. That's why we must have right view with regards to law of karma. So all his teaching come from understanding all this. So without mindfulness, you cannot see all this. You cannot be sensitive. You cannot develop the awakening, because the movement of thought is so fast, so subtle. Like when we live life, our senses move so fast. We are in an active state. Our senses, six and all, keep on engaging with external phenomenal world. So when this movement is so fast, if you are not mindful and aware, how can you cope with life? How can you understand what is going on? How can you understand who are you? What are you? And how the form and mind unfold and get itself in trouble. So all this understanding is meditation. The movement of the awareness nature that can be silently aware to observe, see, and awaken. That's why it can insight into phenomena. It can awaken. Then it can develop the understanding. And with the understanding, this form and mind is no longer deluded. Then you can say, this form and mind is enlightened. Yes, but it's not you. Well, this one is subject to change, impermanent. Have the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkang, and anatta. So all this understanding, they will unfold. Then you awaken. You develop the understanding. That's why without mindfulness, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. And that is very true. So what you are asking is very good, Susan. You were talking about how the mundane mind arises, the sankhara, the creation. We are like the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. So from our nature, which is spacious awareness, we create the five mental aggregate of form and mind by shrinking the consciousness and create a thought. That's why the thought is the five aggregate, mental five aggregate. So now, hopefully with this sharing, it will make you understand better, Susan. Okay. Yes. Sadhu to you, huh? For your good understanding. Anything else?
Okay.
I think we better end.
Last
one. Can.
No, yeah. More. Okay.
One more.
Brother Teo.
Yes.
At the point of the understanding,
There
is the release.
Ah, yes.
The release.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The release.
There is a release. Yeah.
Of holding non-clinging, non-attachment.
Yes.
Then it will be freedom of mind.
Yeah, because wisdom liberates the mind. Well, wisdom is no longer deluded by the phenomenal world. That's why it cannot grasp, it cannot cling, it cannot hold. It doesn't give meaning anymore. It's just like, you know Mandarin or not, Susan?
I don't, but I don't know what word you're going to say, maybe.
No, the Diamond Sutta one, you remember? Each year you wave. Everything is conditioned Dhamma, you understand? Within the conditioned world is conditioned Dhamma. So conditioned Dhamma has its own nature's law.
Right.
It recognizes the relationship, it recognizes the law of karma, it has four noble truths. But in true emptiness, all these don't exist. That's why you will come to understand each year you wafer. That's why you liberate, your mind liberate. You know, conditioned Dhamma is he know you, he know me. Everything is dependent originating. Condition like that, things are like that. Everything echo and flow like our form and mind. No reality, this is not me. This is impermanent. It come and it go, supported by condition, the three conditions. When they cease or separate, the form and mind, the identity, the human being is gone. And we say die, nothing die actually. When you meditate, you're silent, you will know. So all this is the result of awakening. When you awaken, you cannot cling, you cannot grab. So what they told you is your mind liberate is true. Liberation, you use the word liberation, is the mind that liberate. Where the mind that understand cannot grasp. We are conditioned Dhamma. Each year you wave a zu mong huan pao ying. That one you can understand, isn't it? Mong is like dream state. Huan is illusion. Pao is a bubble. Then shadow. Zu mong huan pao ying. Then like a lightning flash and a morning dew. Doesn't last. So fast, it's gone, lightning flash. The morning dew, once the morning sun come out, is gone. So you have to contemplate it such, he said, 应作如是观. It's so beautiful. And that is the highest teaching of the Diamond Sutta. He said, if you know this teaching, and you can teach this four stanza to the world, your merit is limitless. That's why the Diamond Sutta is very powerful. Where it awakens living beings. So when you know everything is conditioned Dhamma, then what is there to argue? He know you, he know me. Where got right and wrong? Where got karma and all those things? That one only pertains to the conditioned world, to the form and mind, but not the ultimate truth. That's why in true emptiness, like Kuan Yin say, no one die, no one born, no one sick, no old age, no sickness, no death, no Dhamma, nothing. So that is the beauty of the teaching. Okay, Susan?
Sadhu.
Okay, so we end, huh?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much for your good sharing and question. So let us rejoice with Susan and Song. Sadhu. Wow, today marathon, 11:54. Very good. Oh, sorry, 10:54. It's very good.
Sorry.
No problem. We should rejoice. Yeah? Everybody
timeless.
Who wants to stay are still alive. Timeless, yeah. We have gone through the timeless. That's why we didn't really feel the time. It moves so fast. So let us rejoice and we will end everything. Sadhu.